Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
You got to stop pointing fingers before the mic goes hot. Welcome to the lighter side of technology. This is the Data Doctors radio program.
It's where you laugh. It's where you learn. It's where you chuckle. And yeah, maybe you learn a thing or two. And it's education and entertainment. We call it edutainment.
Thank you. We have a question. Wait, we don't have a question. You have a question for the show. DataDoctors.com/radio. Or you can connect with us on Facebook.
We are the Data Doctors. Brandon and Spanky this week. And here's what's going on in the world of tech right now.
Google goes shopping for a phone and winds up spending a few dozen billion dollars.
A few dozen billion?
A few dozen billion.
Say that five times fast.
A few dozen billion.
President Obama, he checks in on Foursquare. Can the president be mayor and the press at the same time? Aren't there like term limits or something like that?
And there's a drug problem at Facebook.
Data Doctors radio program.
So it's big in the news.
What is? The president on Foursquare?
No. Oh. Well, that was like minor. No, like we started the week off. Wake up Monday morning, go to work, get your coffee.
Yeah. Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
And Google? $12.5 billion? Motorola? What?
They bought. Now, does Google make anything yet, or are they just...
No, software.
Software.
So this online is software, first, not real software.
So this, buying Motorola, the handset company, is like their first dipping the toe into manufacturing.
Now, this is not dipping the toe, sir. I'm pretty sure last time I checked, $12.5 billion, that's a lot of dough no matter who you
is. For Google, that's dipping the toe.
No, sir. That's the biggest purchase of anything ever. They've purchased probably 100,000, I don't know, lots and lots of companies over the years, right? They've been aggressive about certain things that they want to seek out. I mean, they bought what's now Google Voice. They bought what's now some of the photo sharing stuff they've got, the Picasa, right? There's tons and tons of things that they have because they acquired and then made it Google-rific.
Right.
Well, this is A, different because it's something hardware, and B, something different because what they paid, $12.5 billion. That doesn't wake you up.
Brandon, can I just tell you?
What?
This is not sexy. Why are we even talking about this? Who cares?
So there's a couple of things that are interesting. Maybe not to you, but
okay,
to everybody else that listens, which there's more than one.
To use.
Use peoples, yes. So here's one of the interesting things. Google makes what has become the number one operating system for smartphones, Google Android, right?
Droid.
They make the software that powers the phone.
Right.
And a lot of device manufacturers, Motorola included, but more than just Motorola, have jumped on board saying, hey, all we have to do is create the hardware. They're going to create all the software. They're going to keep it up to date. They're going to keep it moving. This is a sweet deal. Does that upset the apple cart when Google goes and buys the biggest device manufacturer that uses their operating system? Do these other guys get upset about that?
The
answer is yes, they're getting a little upset about that.
Could the DOJ get involved?
Well, absolutely, they're going to be involved. Somebody has to go through and make sure that there's regulatory approval here.
Right.
And that brings up a whole other issue, which is the deal sort of frozen on pause at the moment, which opens up an opportunity for another company, say Microsoft, to swoop in and say, we're going to up the bid just to keep it away from Google. And really, what's at stake here, what a lot of people that are following the story that are, quote-unquote, experts, which is, I think we're experts, but yeah, whatever.
We don't live inside the world of Motorola.
We're not inside. Yeah, no. So most of these guys figure that what's going on here is they really want the patents, they want the intellectual property, they want the licenses, they want what's really underneath it all, which amounts to sort of software, and they don't care about all the hardware stuff.
Okay, so they're not trying to be Apple in the control of iPhone, iOS.
We don't know. This is what the experts say. Maybe they are.
See, so I heard some speculation just talking to some friends that they may have purchased this to help spin it off to this Chinese company, Wang Chung.
Wang Chung?
Yeah, you know, everybody Wang Chung tonight.
I remember that song.
Yeah, they want to buy.
I thought it was General Tso.
General Tso, Wang Chung. It's one of those companies.
It's some like Chinese, chicken, whatever.
It's some Chinese company that I can't pronounce. Huawei.
Huawei. It's Al Pacino's company.
It's Al Pacino, yeah. They want to sell it to them, and because they've been looking to get a U.S.-based hardware manufacturer so that they can... So I don't know what this story looks like. It's still not super sexy.
It's $12.5 billion.
Larry Page,
it's a big move. It's whatever it is,
Larry
something's
Page
going
could
on.
Be in a thong, and this ain't sexy.
Nobody knows who Larry Page is.
That's some guy who works for...
The Google.
So anyway, more on this story as it evolves.
It's evolving, that's for sure.
Evolving.
But it's a lot of dough. It's the most Google's ever paid for anything. And it's big because it's something other than software, which is new for them.
Yeah. Hey, in case you're a political junkie, you should know that Facebook is starting to move to the left.
I'm pretty sure some people would say that it's a socialist empire created by leftists and...
No, the left side of your screen, Brandon. The social giants rolling out left-hand navigation.
Left-hand... Wait, they have some top stuff.
Right, they have, but most of your stuff is on the right.
You know what I don't like? That right-hand thing that's over there, that chatty messagey thing?
Yeah, that's all... So now they're moving it to the left. Why? Because they're Facebook. And they can.
And they have a requirement to move things around and change things on you once a month so that you can be upset about it, but keep using it.
And last I checked, you don't pay for it, so shut up. Check out the changes at datadoctors.com/radio, or if you're on Facebook every day, you'll just see it because suddenly the stuff that you look for on the right is going to be on the left. Is that a political message this time of year?
I'm pretty sure that you shouldn't tell listeners to shut up because they're listening.
Okay.
We're talking. Well,
be quiet and listen. Okay. Gotcha. Speaking of Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook's got something else going on that's huge. I don't know if you know this, but Facebook has a huge drug problem.
You are aware that Facebook's not a person. Zuckerberg, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a drug problem. He looks he does.
Facebook has a drug problem. Drug companies, pharmaceutical companies, are pulling their pages off of Facebook.
Pulling pages? Like, yeah, you mean advertising?
No, they're shutting down their Facebook pages, their social engagement channels, because people are engaging with them.
Wait. We are all data doctors. We have facebook.com/data doctors. You go there and you like us. We haven't quite figured out why yet, but we're going to. No, we know why. You get to ask questions and we get to make sure we provide you help.
And I answer them with funny little snippets.
And you do. And then we get real people to answer them that know what they're talking about. It's all good. But the drug companies, they're getting people to follow them, like them, whatever it is, right, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to stop that. And why? Because that's dumb.
Yeah. So apparently they don't like getting negative feedback.
Well, who does?
But
maybe you do what the rest of us do and you say, huh, A, there's something to learn. Maybe there's something to fix. B, people are going to say negative things. And the fact that they're doing it on your wall or on your group page or on your whatever, it gives you a chance to participate in that conversation rather than just let it happen and bury your head in the sand.
Remember, they started this because they're the ones who started advertising on TV and radio directly to you so that you go to your doctor and say, I want Viagra! My junk doesn't work!
I don't think we need to know about your junk, sir.
No, not me. Never mind. Go ahead.
Speaking of junk, still ahead, Cadillac. All charged up about their latest car line edition.
Plus, 27,000 sue for $26 million. Sounds like rotten apples to me.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
And speaking of doctors, have you ever needed a doctor on demand? What about one that makes house calls?
Doctors don't make house calls anymore, sir.
At Data Doctors, we do both.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like 50s television.
No, all over the country we make house calls all the time. We'll even come to your office for those real big emergencies.
Or your home office or just your home.
Right. We got a note this week from a Data Doctors customer in Phoenix that sums it up. It's from the Foot and Ankle Medical Center in Phoenix. And they wrote us to tell us what a gem we have on our staff. Talking about Sonny Aziz. Sonny is a hardworking, intelligent, kind, and patient man. You guys are extremely lucky to have him in your employ. We will never call anyone else. That is a quote from a Data Doctors customer. Thank you, Dr. Woodward and Wendy. You guys rock. If a medical doctor can praise the Data Doctors, we got to be doing something right. We're here to help anytime you need us. Just go to datadoctors.com, find the location nearest you. Data Doctors, we still make house calls.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, we're answering your questions right now, or pretty much any time except for we sleep sometimes. Anyway, Facebook.com/datadoctors, and while you're there, of course, make sure you like us.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
President Obama checking in right now at Name the Restaurant.
Are you being the Secret Service, or who
I'm
are
secret,
you?
Secret Service man.
You're not that secret.
Secret Service man. President Obama.
Never, ever sing.
Why? I sing good.
You sing well.
I like to sing good. I sing gooder than you.
Fantastic. Go ahead.
President Obama is now checking in. What the heck is he doing?
He's on Foursquare, baby.
Yeah, but what is the president? He is POTUS, President of the United States.
Sir.
He should not be on Foursquare.
He's hip. He's happening. He's cool. He's he's the popular prez.
Okay, how smart is it for the president of the United States to be checking in at a restaurant? Everybody's going to know he's there.
Well, but it's after the fact. I'm pretty sure that wherever he goes, people are texting people going, oh, my God, look, you know, I guess who's here. Can I take a picture with him? Sir, step away from the president.
I'm
pretty sure they're concerned about people knowing in advance, but while it's happening, not so much.
So my question is, first of all, does the president earn badges for check-ins like normal people? Or does he get like presidential merits of honor?
No. If Foursquare gives him special stuff.
Yeah.
Screw Foursquare. No more.
I mean, I would. He's the president. And
he gets the gym rat.
Can he be the gym? That's a good badge. But there are some badges.
I'm guessing he doesn't check into the presidential gym because we don't need to know latitude and longitude of where that's located.
I think that's somewhere under the belly of the White House. In the basement.
In the belly?
Yeah. In the basement. Isn't that what they call it? The belly of the beast?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
You make stuff up as you go.
I do. I fly by the seat of my pants. And sometimes when I have no pants on, by the seat of my shorts. Also, if you are a Foursquare user, they've made some updates to their iPhone app, and they've kind of put a little new coat of paint on it, and I like this one. If you check in at a restaurant, there's a great burger joint that I like in the Phoenix area called The Grind.
I like The Grind.
And when you go in there, you check in, and people that you're connected with share things that they like. Well, now there are pictures in those lines as well.
We don't need more pictures of food. We talked about this last week. You and Ken obsessed with pictures of food. I got to tell you, the rest of us, we don't care about your pictures of your food.
Allison always yells at me when I take photos of food. Why is that?
She's right in doing that.
Why?
Thank you, Allison. I applaud you.
There's nothing wrong with taking pictures of food. Don't you want to see what it looks like before you eat it? Do you want me to send a picture after it's eaten?
Yeah, guess what? When it arrives at the table, it's before I've eaten it. I see it. It's fantastic.
But don't you want to share the love?
Dude, have you been with me to a restaurant where I say to the waitress if she's willing to be daring with me? Just bring me something. I like everything. If it's beef, medium rare. If it's chicken, a little more cooked than that.
Actually, you did ask for raw chicken once.
I was being silly.
But she almost took you seriously.
Yeah, well.
That's all I'll say. Hey, you want to see detailed renderings of Apple's new flying saucer headquarters?
Who wouldn't want to see the mothership of Apple?
I personally want to go there. I would like to smell the new building smell.
I wonder if it's apple scented.
Well, that would be great.
That'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
They should plant apple trees out front.
That would be great,
too. You know what they should really do? They should move their headquarters to New York City.
The Big Apple, of course. Slated to be finished in 2015. If you want to see pictures of it, go to datadoctors.com/radio and click on the Apple mothership.
More proof, you need to cut the cord.
By cutting the cord, we mean dropping your cable, your satellite, get rid of all those heavy bills, those $100 bills every month, and just use internet to get all your content.
Yeah, not like just YouTube content. You all know that there's Netflix now, and it's not just the DVDs in the mail, but it's the streaming, or there's the Hulu or Hulu Plus if you want without commercials.
Amazon streaming as well.
Yeah, there's all kinds of choices out there, and more people are starting to ditch their traditional TV provider and going with some of these alternatives because you can save A, a lot of dough, and B, get it on your schedule without the need for a DVR.
And now there's even greater benefit to this because studies have just found out that the more TV you watch, every hour takes 22 minutes off your
life.
How
is that great benefit?
Well, because you're not watching TV. You're watching streaming. Isn't that different?
Oh, streaming TV doesn't.
Because I know what ages you. Here's what kills you. It's those freaking commercials.
You know what else ages you?
What?
But then I'm going to keep doing it.
What?
Bacon. Bacon.
Yeah.
I have a friend.
I think it takes more than 22 minutes off.
She's on radio in Phoenix. In fact, she's on one of the stations we're on.
Okay.
Her name is Gail Bass, and she likes bacon. I like bacon, too.
She turned me on to chocolate-covered bacon. And you know what? When I was in Ohio, I had some. Pretty good. Salty,
the
sweet.
Show has turned into bacon. Motherships.
I can take pictures of bacon for you. Hey, Google has a new iPad app that they just launched. And this is kind of cool. It's Google's moving away from browsing into searching.
Wait. Google's moving. I thought Google was already about searching.
No, Google's. But they're moving.
Wait, figure that one out. Google's about searching and they're moving from browsing to searching? Wait a minute. No, they were already search.
Okay. They're moving to browsing from searching. Did I say it backwards?
I think you might have.
Shoot me in the head, please.
Not right now.
Google recreates the catalog experience on the iPad. So what they've done is they've partnered. Yeah, a catalog.
Card catalog.
Like shopping catalogs.
Oh. Wait, nobody gets those anymore.
Right. So they've paired up with Bergdorf Goodman, Pottery Barn, Sephora. Is it Sephora or Sephora?
I think Sapporo is a beer. Sephora is the pure perfume and
something
smelly
like
stuff. Yeah.
And Urban Outfitters, places like that.
You know what they need?
Hmm.
Fredericks.
Oh.
Huh?
Victoria's Secret.
Better.
Do you know what Victoria's Secret
is? The angels.
I haven't
They're
figured
angels.
It out.
They're all angels.
And that place smells fantastic. I could spend hours in there, even when my wife's not with me.
So Google has these new catalogs now where you can browse products, or not just products. You can just maybe not even window shop, just read articles and check up on stuff. And how is this any different than all the other e-books?
But you can go shopping. It is actually the catalogs of those stores. So the categories include beauty, gifts, fashion, jewelry, and home. The app, it's kind of funny. Google, you know, you think about it, it's a utility. It's not very sexy. So they geared this app towards women, an area that they've traditionally not had a lot of luck in grabbing.
Really? Geeks can't get chicks? That's the headline. You know what's really even more weird?
What?
Google, makers of the Android operating system that's on smartphones everywhere, make an app not for their device, but for Apple's, the iPad.
Yeah, this is a, you know, look, tell me how many Android tablet devices there are out there in comparison to the iPad.
More than less than 5 trillion.
Right. So while the Android phone or the Android phones are certainly far outweigh the iPhone in terms of amount of sold phones, amount of phones out there in the world, on the pad side of things, iPad, iPad 2 clearly lead the path. You know, those Android tablets, man, we've tried a few of them. Oh, painful.
I'm still thinking about losing 22 minutes per hour of TV I watch.
How many have
you? Seems like a waste.
Add that up. How many? So I watch about 6 hours a week.
You're going to be dead next week. And the bacon's only going to make it faster.
Still ahead. Yet another photo sharing app.
We need another one.
I can take pictures of more food.
You know what you should do? Take pictures of food.
Do we really need more pictures of and more places to put pictures?
Yeah, plus spend some dough, get some bread, or is it the other way around? I'm so confused.
Sounds very yeasty.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you are headed back to school, or maybe your kids are headed back to school, we've got a list of 42 digital resources for students and parents. You can just hit us up at datadoctors.com/radio and click the back to school link. Duh, that's easy.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Okay.
Sir,
everybody to the left.
What have you done to this program?
And to the right. And boogie woogie woogie.
The nope. 80s called.
No good?
They want their lyrics, their music. They want everything back.
I want everything to work.
Yeah, one day. Dream about it.
It'll all be better in the new building.
In a world.
Cadillac is all amped up about their new car. It's sexy and it's electric. That's why the electric slide.
I get it now. Actually, I got it before, but now I get it even more, and now they get it.
But you were watching me struggle with my technology.
I'd love to watch you struggle with your technology. So here's the deal. Cadillac, you know Cadillac, sexy, cool, awesome cars. They've taken electric and decided to put it into their vehicles, too. We all know that Chevrolet came out earlier this year with the Chevy Volt, the first American, it released, all-electric car, no hybrid, no gas, just plug it in. Drive a couple hundred miles and off you go, right?
Right.
The problem is, they're not selling.
Because they're not sexy.
Like, to the tune of, I think they've sold 284, I want to say.
$40,000.
Like, that's all they've sold, right? And part of it's that reason, right?
I'm going to do the goat math here.
It's like a $45,000, $50,000 car, and it's a Chevy, and it's cool, but I don't think it's just that cool. So, they're hoping that by taking the same tech and throwing it into a higher-end vehicle,
my calculations say they made $10.
I'm guessing they lost a lot more than that, sir.
They made $10. They sold a spare tire.
I'm thinking they lost even with the spare tire.
Oh, I'm sure they lost a ton.
So they're putting out a Cadillac now version of the same, where they take all the guts and the under the hood and the whatever and put a new shell on top and dress it up and call it Cadillac. And we have no idea how much it costs or when it's coming out, but hopefully this fixes their problem,
but
right?
But because you are fine listeners of the Data Doctors radio program, let me hold the laptop up to the microphone for you so you can see this Beautiful.
I've got a better way for them to see it.
It's isn't that gorgeous, though?
DataDoctors.com/radio.
Super sexy.
You can see the electric caddy, and no, you can't hear the electric slide there.
It's even sexier when you see it on your own screen.
Why do we keep saying sexy?
Because it's a sexy car. I'd want one of those. I don't care if it's electric.
What if it's 60 grand?
Do you know the ninjas are using those cars to sneak attack on people?
They don't need cars. They're ninjas.
Well, but they need cars here.
No.
Yeah, only at night.
By the way, you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter. It's weekly. That's why we call it the weekly newsletter. And you can get more solid tech news just like the sexy caddy.
Yes.
You go to datadoctors.com/radio, find the newsletter box, and put in your email address. Subscribe. It's that easy.
So I'm sitting here playing with my iPhone at the
moment.
Yeah,
I heard that.
Yeah, because that's why you heard the click. Google. Oh, and there's my iPhone. Look at that. The timing is fortuitous.
Do you know how to silence things when we're doing
a
radio
No, I turned program? It on because Google's got this new PhotoVine app, and I want to talk about it.
Wait a minute. It's a photo sharing app. We don't hear anything.
No, you hear it when you take the picture. You hear it go.
We don't need that.
All right, I'll shut it off then.
This is radio. We paint a picture with our words.
I was using some sounds too.
And then because we can't rely on that, we send them to our website to see all the pictures.
Exactly. Google's moving away from utility, and they're trying to get more social. This has been a push for about a year with Google Plus, with all these new things that they're doing. They've quietly launched this new app.
Wait a minute. If they quietly introduced it.
Let me try again. Google has quietly launched this new app.
In a world.
They're billing it as a fun way to learn more about your friends, meet new people, and see the world like you've never seen it before. Here's my problem with it. The app doesn't have a filter. So unlike...
Wait a minute, no filter.
Right.
I see this as a big plus because the only reason people are going to use this app, I need to tell you, take pictures of their junk and share it with the world.
So that's what I discovered last night.
Oh, no.
So you create these, what do you call them, like photo streams. You know, their tagline is you plant a photo and watch it grow.
Right. Well, see who can be the most popular. It's a popularity contest for pictures.
Right. And so they have these different vines, and the vines are basically public photo albums organized around a theme. Sunset, pets, office toys.
Oh, I already see where this is going.
My body parts.
And so, of course, that's the first place you go because, well, you're you.
I have to do investigative research. It's part of the show prep.
For science.
It's for science, technology, and to make sure that my kids don't go there. Anyway, of course, the first thing I saw in the body parts was breasts.
Tastes like chicken.
Very awesome app.
You know, since you think it's an awesome app.
Yes.
Perhaps we should make it this week's featured app.
It is our featured app this week. So it's PhotoVine for iPhone. By the way, another interesting thing since
you can
Google,
share other things other than body parts.
Yes, you can. Since it's
like
a
sunsets
Google
cool stuff.
Product, you would expect it to be available on the Android platform.
Just like the catalog, yeah.
But it's not.
Not.
It's an iPhone only.
You know how Ken likes to take pictures of sunsets and he posts them all the time to his wall
all
and stuff?
All the time.
So we need to make sure that if there's a sunsets vine, and then he'll be king contributor.
Oh, he would probably be the leader in Phoenix. He would be the Phoenix sunset king. King Ken. Not King Kong, King Ken. You like that?
King Ken.
No?
What about Queen Ken?
Hmm.
That's hard to say, too.
Moving on. Hey, do you think social media matters?
A lot of play. I basically have high school reunion in there. I can check up on what's happening with my ex-girlfriends.
Yeah.
Other than that, nah, not so much.
Yeah, a lot of people use social media to catch up on the world. And you know, a lot of businesses still poo-poo social media. It's kind of useless. It's not something that they need. It's not something that's going to help.
They do what? They poo-poo?
Poo-poo. Social media.
I had a platter once that was named that, and it was
no,
a little
that's
hibachi.
That's a poo-poo platter. That's
same
totally
thing.
Different.
Oh.
Social media generates so many views. So, for example, you know the Old Spice Mano Imano Bono video?
Yeah.
22 million views on that video. So if you think your company doing social, posting videos is useless, you might want to think again. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, still ahead, Netflix. They now have filters for things. We'll tell you what that's all about. And baguette vending machines. Huh?
Bread? In a
bread.
Machine? Wow.
That doesn't cost a lot of dough.
The school bell's rung. It's back to school. And, you know, if your kid's heading off to college, you might want to protect their investment, your investment, before they mess it up.
Saved by the bell
saved.
Or saved by the doctors?
Saved by the data doctors. Get it covered before they have their first frat party because we all know beer and computers, not a good combination.
Beer pong next to your laptop, no good?
No good.
Oh.
For less than 30 cents a day, Data Doctors Quality Care can cover that investment from start to finish. Top to bottom. Keyboard, to cover.
Oops, I got a virus. No problem. Oops, the thing's running really slow.
And you know, viruses happen in college because college kids practice risky behavior.
Yes, they do.
On
they
the
go
internet.
On YouTube, too, which is very risky.
So protect your investment. Go to datadoctors.com and click Quality Care. Get signed up. Again, it's 30 cents a day. It's a small price to pay to protect a very valuable investment.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Hey, Spanky, you ever need a fresh baguette in the middle of the eve?
I am always looking for bread in the middle of the night. I
thought you were looking for a bialy, though.
Bagels.
Now there's a vending machine that takes your dough and delivers warm, fresh bread.
Oh, where do I get this?
Yeah, only one problem.
Where?
It's the where you get it part. Very yeasty, by the way. You have to go to France.
France?
Yeah, see it in action. Datadoctors.com/radio. Click red box.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors Radio Program.
From baguettes. Vending machine? Really? A vending machine? Wow.
Yeah, you've seen those little homemade bread maker things. You just throw in your dough and out comes cooked dough.
That would be awesome.
Delish.
Throw in some money, get out some bread.
About the Krispy Kreme vending machine? They have the hot. This puts a whole new spin on that hot donuts.
That's true. From baguette vending machines to parking meters, you know, tech makes life easier. Every day it gets a little bit easier for us. How cool would it be if you could use your smartphone to feed the meter?
How cool would it be to not live in a place where you even care?
Like an island?
No, I mean, there's lots of places where there's no parking meters, right?
Oh, everywhere I go, there's parking meters. I don't know where you go.
You are hip and happening, sir.
Where I go, there are parking meters, and then there are little people in brown outfits on go-karts that run around and ticket you.
Brown outfits?
I don't know what color the outfits
are. That's UPS guy. I think they're like navy blue color.
I'm confused. The UPS guy is not trying to give me a ticket. He's trying to give me a package.
Right. Well, yeah. That's the ice cream man, and that's different. Anyway.
Okay. So there's now a company that has, it's called Translogic, where they have a piece of technology that allows your cell phone, your smartphone, to talk to these specific meters.
This is the NFC that we've talked about, the near field communications, the pay with your phone in action in something kind of halfway useful.
But slightly different.
Stop carrying change.
You can call in, so you don't have to be near it.
And maybe if you don't have a smartphone and you have one of the feature phones, hello, I'm at meter number 26.
Please deposit 15 cents.
Yes, my friend, please deposit 15 cents.
So drivers download the app to their smartphone or send a text message to the specific meter how much time they'd like to buy. It then purchases it. You get a receipt right there on your smartphone. Bam, you're done.
That is smart.
No feeding the meter. My question is, what took them so long?
So wait a minute. Can you be in your meeting and go, oh my gosh, I only have 5 minutes left in the meter. Wait a minute. I don't have to run down anymore. Ring, ring, hello?
Right, but what if you want to get out from the meeting? I left my smartphone in the car.
Don't
I got
to
go feed the meter.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad way to go.
Got to get some change.
If you were listening to the program last week, you may have heard us talking about the government. The government is desperate. They're looking for a few good men. The government is looking for the next big cyber tech superstar.
Well, they're not looking for just one of them. They're looking for 10 to 30,000 of them.
How could our government security be so bad that they're trying to recruit 30,000?
Well, what's really funny is
smart guys.
Where they were trying to recruit them.
So if it wasn't bad enough, first they're looking for smart guys because the government guys aren't too smart.
Now, well, with tech it is.
With tech.
Yeah. Now I think it's a series of tubes, remember? Yeah.
Exactly. Same guys. The internet. The internets.
The interwebs.
Interwebs. Sorry, my bad. The government has a better vernacular. The federal government now wants you and your app ideas because they've run out of ideas.
For apps?
They need app developers. Here's the thing.
Why do they need apps?
Dude, it's the government. They're here to waste our money.
Why do they need apps?
The government has over 50 smartphone apps right now. Don't ask me what any of these apps are for because I don't work for the government, but they use these things every day. They're apps that find local alternative fueling stations, identify leaves that you photographed. I mean,
what?
Dude, this is the government waste at its worst.
You know what they really need to focus on? Baguette vending machines.
That would be fantastic. That would be baguette-tastic.
No, it's just not good.
Okay. Anyway, so now the U.S. government is looking for that. And by the way, this is through September 15th. So there's still some time. If you're an app developer, they want regular citizens, just like you, me, your brother, your cousin, Ernie the pig that lives on your farm.
Ernie? I don't have a farm.
Ernie the smart pig.
Good story.
Okay.
Move on.
If you can develop an app, if you have an idea for the next government app, just like their cyber superstars.
Can I just stop you?
They want the app developers.
Can I just stop you?
What?
Dumb.
Of course it is.
The whole story. We're moving on. Netflix.
Yes.
Because that's way more important. People care.
Yes,
Nobody's sleeping when we say Netflix. Well, you might be mad because they upped their subscription rates, but a lot of you have been asking for something that I heard Spanky specifically talk about like 5-6 months ago. And that is, I've got kids who now, through my little Roku box, are watching because I'm shaving the cord or cutting the cord or whatever it is you're doing over at the Moskowitz household.
I like shaving.
Yeah. So you're doing all your shaving because you're very furry. And what? People need to see your back and your out of control. Anyway, all this shaving is happening, you know, TV shaving, that is.
Yeah.
And your biggest complaint about your Roku is that your kids are looking for content and they're stumbling across stuff that you don't want them to watch.
Right.
And there's no parental control.
So up until now, my biggest gripe about Netflix has been this lack of separation for kids' content. Well, now, no longer will your kids be looking for Dexter's Laboratory and happen to stumble upon an episode of Dexter, the serial killer. They have implemented...
Dexter, not for kids, by the way.
Right. They've rolled out a kid-friendly tab, which basically aggregates... pulls all the kid content into one nice, neat package that includes the stupid stuff like SpongeBob, but it's all in there, and it's kind of a safe zone for kids. And I prefer that because, I mean, 2 years ago, my kid stumbled upon a movie that I was just mortified when I found out that he actually clicked on it and started watching it not knowing what it was. I don't remember the name of it, but there was nudity in the first 30 seconds of it.
Ooh.
And I'm
what
like...
What movie again? For science?
I don't remember the name of it, but there was nudity in it the first 30 seconds. And
that's a lot of movies, by the way.
Yeah, and but the name, the title is what got him because it had a very harmless title. And, of course, it was...
Like SpongeBob.
Exactly, except it was Sponge Mom or something
Who
like that.
Who lives in the pineapple under the same?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know what took him so long, but I'm glad they finally got to it because I was sweating it for a while. You know, when you see bad content, and there's a lot of stuff out there.
You know why you were sweating it?
Why?
Because your wife said, dude, you had me when you said we could save some bucks. I was with you when you said we could watch TV on demand.
Yeah.
I was all about it. And then my baby, my son, my little precious, he saw some stuff. And now, no. We're signing back up for this. And now you have control again.
Kind of, sort of, but
take
not
that.
Really.
Because
She asked me if she was not worth $108 a month for satellite.
No, she didn't.
She did.
Oh, well, I guess you're back to that old thing.
I'm kind of stuck. Yeah. Remember, Data Doctors Radio Program is your source for all things tech. Find the links to everything we're talking about today at datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, in some cities, you may only get this first hour of the program, but you can always get the whole thing. It's very simple. All you do is subscribe to the Data Doctors Radio Program on iTunes, and every Monday morning, you got the whole hookup right in your iTunes.
And if you get stuck with your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, you spill your morning coffee on your laptop, we can help. Just click datadoctors.com and find the location right near you anywhere in the country.
We're all over the place.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Hey, and welcome back. It's the lighter side of technology. This is the Data Doctors radio program, where you laugh, where you learn. It's through education and entertainment. We call it
edutainment. Have a question for the show? Go to datadoctors.com/radio, or you can connect with us right on Facebook.
It is the Data Doctors, Brandon and Spanky, and here's what's going on in the world of tech right now.
This Apple freak right here is thinking he might want to try Windows.
You should. It's good for you. And faxes. We don't need no thinking faxes.
And you already know Google is buying Motorola handsets. But was it a smart move?
Data Doctors radio program.
Well, they're smartphones, so...
Yeah, but just because it was a smartphone doesn't mean it was a smart move. Folks, I got to tell you, I'm the Mac guy here. I have been the Mac guy since joining the Data Doctors radio program. And I got to tell you, Windows 8 is turning my head a little bit.
Looks pretty good.
It looks very Mac.
So next month, in fact, for my birthday.
Happy birthday.
September 13th, Microsoft's supposed to be unveiling tons more details.
Are you trolling for birthday presents from our listeners?
That'd be awesome.
Okay, just checking.
That'd be awesome. We should post a link to like my birthday wish list. That'd be cool.
Fantastic. Go on.
Microsoft, they're releasing a bunch of new details of what will be in Windows 8, expected to launch the first half of 12. Can we just say 12 now?
Yeah,
I think we should.
12.
So they're saying, and this is a big, significant, major deal for them. In fact, they're saying the most significant new operating system release since way back in 1995 when they released Windows 95.
That's so last century.
Yep, that's like
forever
long
ago.
Long ago, sir. That's back when music was, well, not so good. And today it's still not so good.
So they're also saying, though, that the new Windows 8 will run on all the traditional processors, the Intels, the AMDs.
Like it does today, sure.
Yeah, so nothing's going to change there. How is Windows 8 different?
Wait, you left out. It's going to run there, but it's also going to run on all the processors that power tablet devices, smartphones, things like that. So we're going to see an operating system that they're doing what's called forking it. And no, that's not me mispronouncing something. They're much like Apple has created the OS and the iOS, mm-hmm. but they're based off of the same base sort of core. Windows is doing the same thing. They're finally going to produce an operating system that has a branch that's more for laptops, desktops, those kinds of things, and an OS that's more dedicated for smartphones, tablets, and those kinds of things, and there'll be some crossover in the middle. And so there's lots of things. We've already seen some of the coolness with some of the tiling and some of the things that are in the Windows Phone 7 that seem to be making their way in, but they're promising faster load times, easier ways to upgrade from machine to machine and move your data, all kinds of cool features, and they're saying that they've been very careful about talking about features because they learned in the past that if you talk and you don't deliver, you disappoint. And they promise they're going to deliver some big news and some really cool, shocking things that are going to blow our heads. So
now to you Windows users out there, and I've never, ever had a Windows machine, so I'm not speaking as the Apple elitist here. I'm speaking to you from the heart. In the Mac world, we've always had a very easy transition from machine to machine. Macs have made it very comfortable when you upgrade your technology to move all of your data very easily. You plug in the FireWire, you hit one key, it transfers the data, and your new machine's up and running.
Right, and part of why that's possible is that in the Apple world, right, the guys who make the hardware, the guys who make the software, the operating system, they're all the same guy. And so there aren't 50,000 different variations of hardware combinations. There's four. And that's a controlled world. They can make that very easy. And Windows has been learning for a long time that you've got to create some standards, but you've got to have enough looseness to let the world run. And so they're trying to figure out how to get around that problem, and they think they've solved some of those things. And I think that them saying that it's the most significant overhaul of the OS since Windows 95, that's a pretty big statement, because that was a whole world shift where we got things like the start button that we're used to today. That's when we got things like My Computer and the whole idea of browsing and right-click and all these concepts were all introduced in that world. They're talking about that level of difference. And I know some of you say, well, change is no good. You know what? We need some change. It's about time. I think this is a good thing.
I will make the change. Brandon, if you let me play with a Windows 8 machine, I will play with it, give my honest review comparing it to Mac, because that's the world I live in. And I might even say some nice things about it.
I give the reviews all the time. Guess what? I have a MacBook and I have Windows-based computers on my desktop at home and at work, and I love them both, and they both do great things. There's a couple of things that I like to do more on my laptop, which is running the Apple OS, and there's a couple of things I like to do more on my Windows One, and then everything else, I couldn't care less. And so I think there's a place for both, and I'm glad to see Microsoft doing some cool new things.
You guys out there using social media, who do you follow?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Friends.
Are you a stalker?
A little bit.
Ever wonder who you interact with more on Facebook, aside from us?
I think I know, because I'm the one doing the interacting, right?
Well, if you don't know who you're interacting with, there's a slick new way to find out. Go to datadoctors.com/radio and click, I'm a stalker.
So you have to click I'm a stalker, which means you're admitting your problem.
No. Well, I'm not a stalker, except for iJustine. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time of the show that is?
Of course they know.
Geek Speak.
It's that time when every week we scour this time literally for seconds to find something so valuable in the vernacular of the internet, in the world of geekdom. We translate it from geek to English, and then we throw it out for you. This week's Geek Speak of the Week, it's called Push Pen Anxiety. Push pen anxiety, that annoying sound you hear in the background, that's Spanky clicking with his tongue, making the click, 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 click sound. Push pen anxiety is the psychological state characterized by one's excessive push in, push out of his or her retractable pen due to stress or boredom.
We all have that. I've done that so many times. I've been sitting in a meeting listening to you drone on, and I start.
Don't you feel better that you know that now?
Yeah, I thought I was having a stroke.
Push pen anxiety.
Push pen anxiety. Hey, there's always these little words, these little things that no one knows what that is. It's push pen anxiety. And actually, I think it's a great way to pass boredom. Have you ever done that and started counting to see how high you can get while you're in a meeting?
No.
Because when you start talking, that's what I do.
You know another way to pass boredom?
Yeah.
That's with the game console. Sony.
Moving right along, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm moving right along. Sony, the makers of the PlayStation and most recently the PlayStation 3, they've decided that their box is a little too expensive. So they're bringing out a value unit. $250, all the same stuff you loved, and I don't know, just cheaper.
So I wonder if they're going to come up with a newer box now, and now will Microsoft do the same thing? Interesting.
I don't know. Still ahead, if you ever want to grab that YouTube video, we'll tell you how.
Plus, Amazon is leading the way when it comes to everything. We'll tell you what they're doing now on the Data Doctors radio program. If you're anywhere near a computer right now, just log on to datadoctors.com and click find a location.
Why?
If you ever need a data doctor on command, on demand, click and find the location nearest you. We can actually come out to you.
We make it super easy. You put in your zip code, it shows you the five closest locations, and if there's not one close to you, we tell you how we can help you in other ways.
We're the doctors that make house calls these days. In fact, recently, we got a letter from a customer in Phoenix at the Foot and Ankle Center who was raving about one of our techs, Sonny Aziz. They said he was the best they've ever had. They will never call anyone else, and that comes from Dr. Woodward.
They said four thumbs up.
Four
that's
thumbs
two
up.
Two people, two thumbs, that's four.
By the way, if they're a foot and ankle, I think they don't know anatomy because there's only two thumbs.
No, but two people.
Oh, four thumbs.
There you go.
I got to learn math. Anyway, find out more. Go to datadoctors.com, click location, find the one nearest you, and we'll get you hooked up. Datadoctors.com.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you're still kicking it old school and using email and you want more solid tech news, get it right in your inbox. Just subscribe to our weekly newsletter and you'll be plugged in. Go to datadoctors.com/radio. Look for the little newsletter box. Simply type in your email address and you're connected.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
So speaking of old school, because you like to kick it old school.
Kicking it old school.
Faxing.
What?
Who does that anymore?
Do people still fax?
Yeah, they do.
Where?
All over. I get people faxing me all the time. They're like, hey, what's your fax number? I'm like, I can give you my email address. What I have isn't really very... I have to fax it.
I got rid of my fax number a long time ago. In fact, we have a fax here at Corporate HQ at Data Doctors, and it's like dusty.
Yeah, some people still need to fax us, so.
That is so weird.
We actually don't even have a fax machine. We have a fax server, and it just gets delivered to an inbox.
But we have that black fax machine that's sitting there, the one that's dusty that no one uses.
Yeah.
Anyway, Interfax is now adding, it's a company, is now adding faxing to Google Docs, which to me is so flippin' counterintuitive.
Wait a second. I got my Google Docs, which is, of course, spreadsheets and documents and all this kind of stuff in the cloud.
Right.
And I want to fax that. So rather than have to print it and then go to the old school fax machine, I can just fax from within the Google Docs thing?
Yeah, but the stupid thing is, for those of you who saw my video a few weeks back on how to sign a PDF doc, why wouldn't you just sign a PDF doc? And you can do it in the Mac world, you can do it in the PC world, albeit a little bit more complicated. I don't understand the necessity of a fax, especially incorporating faxing into Google Docs. You're taking old school and new tech and putting it together, and you're creating NEC.
NEC?
New and old. It's tech.
New and old tech.
NEC.
You know, this just in. New technology hitting everywhere right now. It's a series. It's an audible series of short and long bursts called New Tech.
Okay. Moving on.
It's old tech, actually.
Moving on to newer new tech.
That was Morse code, in case you didn't catch that.
I got that.
You want me to explain to you what Morse code is?
I know what that is.
Okay. It's like a fax machine, only not at all like faxes.
And Dr. Samuel Morse made it.
Go ahead.
Ken's cousin.
Yeah.
First cousin. Nintendo Wii is getting a facelift. You know, the Wii, the family gaming console?
Yeah, I saw this headline, and I clicked with fury because I thought, finally, the Wii U, they're going to deliver it way early.
Yeah, I was excited. We saw the Wii U, as you may recall from some of our content from E3. Brandon and I were there. It was a cool gaming console, and man, I got so excited, and he got so excited. And
yeah, this isn't that.
No. They've taken the Wii, the existing Wii, and they've made some major modifications.
No. I'm going to put the word slightly in air quotes, because when I say slightly, their slightly more streamlined console means that it looks exactly the same unless you look at it really, really, really carefully. And then you'll notice that, like, the icons for eject are, like, turned sideways.
That's because they turned the box sideways.
And here's what else you get. The backwards compatibility with GameCube that nobody cares about and uses, you know, the ports where you could plug in the memory cards and the GameCube games and all that, that's not there anymore because we don't need that.
Right, who cares?
Yeah, so really what it's all about, I don't know. They wanted to have a new device in time for the holidays because they knew that Sony was going to lower theirs like we just told you about, and probably Xbox is going to do something with theirs because they're trying to dump them.
And here's why they did it. They did it because the Wii U isn't going to be ready. And they needed to do something in the interim to stay relevant. Otherwise, they fall off the map.
And I don't think this makes them stay relevant.
No. In fact, it makes them a laughingstock. Because I'm looking at this thing going, who the heck is going to spend a dollar on this machine? It's the same box. Does nothing different. You're just repackaging a turd.
Wow. How do you really feel?
But that's what they're doing.
So they say they're going to combine it with some different hardware to make some new bundles and things and have a couple of different choices and like a sporty version and like a dancy version and whatever. But really, it's the same box minus the GameCube that we didn't care about. And yeah, I think it's just, like you said, it's a holiday ploy. They know Sony's already made their announcement about their lower cost. Microsoft, we know they're dumping theirs because they've got all these back to school deals with give away a console. I mean, come on.
Yeah, free Xbox for a computer purchase. Hey, Brandon, you're a traveler. You travel an awful lot. In fact, a lot more than anyone in our company.
I was born a rambling man, some might say.
Trying to make a living just doing the best you can?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, when it's time for leaving, you hop on a kayak,
jet plane?
Right?
No. I know. Usually I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Right, but you know where you're going because you use Kayak, the app. It's a mobile app.
Sometimes I get on a big old jet airliner.
All right, the song references, kill them.
Sorry. Kayak, yes.
Kayak.
I use Kayak on my iPhone all the time. In fact, sometimes I've booked the flights, but I haven't booked like the rental car and the whatever. And when I get there, I land. And while I'm in the little shuttle thing getting from the gate to wherever, I'm booking my car. I use that and I use Priceline on the phone all the time.
So Kayak now has a new app for the Mac. And I downloaded it, started playing with. Of course, it's a free app. And it's fantastic. And it's called Kayak Explore. And it's really designed for the vacationing traveler. And so what's cool about Kayak Explore is it's an app that when you open it, shows you basically a map of the world. You can pick, do you want to travel to beaches? Do you want to travel to a mountainous destination? And then it'll start to pull together and get the packaging for that, what your airfare, your hotel, and it'll put it all together with pictures, with all these destinations and cool things you can see. It's like an on-your-computer travel planner.
But here's the part that people might have missed because you glossed right over it like it wasn't a big deal, because to you it's not. We're all used to and comfortable and regularly go get apps for our smartphones, right? For our tablets, those kinds of things. Did you see what they just did? They tricked us into getting an app for our computer rather than going to a website. They're shifting the way we use even the desktop, the laptop. It's an app. It's free, right? But you don't go to a website. You don't go and download it. You go to the app store.
Right.
Very interesting.
Well, and that's the way the OS is working on the Mac now. You can't buy the OS on a disc. And you go to the App Store, you purchase it, and download it.
You were showing me a couple of cool things with that Kayak Explorer thing. And, you know, I got to say, pretty sexy looking.
Yeah. So
kind of gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, as you say. So the Cabo San Lucas is one that I have in front of me right now. 25-26 is what they have listed for. And they give you the breakdown of what the flight cost, the flight percentage of that is, where you depart from, where you return to, the airfare, which hotels give you the best rate per night, what the reviews are on the hotel, maps, pictures, everything, and it's all bundled into one nice, neat little package.
And one of the cool things for people who've never used Kayak before, one of the things they do really, really, really well, they go out and they're like the Google of travel, right? They go out and they search all the travel sites and they give you one consolidated view that shows you all the prices for all the airlines. They give you these cool sliders so you can say, I only want to leave between these hours and arrive between those hours. I want to look at alternate airports. They do really cool stuff to make it super simple to figure out where you're going, how you're getting there.
And of course, we'll have a link for Kayak Explorer on datadoctors.com/radio. Still ahead, you ever want to capture a video on the internet? We're going to tell you how.
And just ahead, RAM is on the rebound, even though I'm pre-ordering my iPhone 5.
And Amazon gets cozy in the cloud. You'll never guess who they're in bed with.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Did you know? You know, we like to talk about the rumored iPhone 5 or 4S or whatever it is, launch dates. Well, the latest, October 7th. Pre-orders beginning September 30th. That's the rumors anyway. We'll let you know what's changed next week.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Ding, ding, ding. In this corner, Apple's iPad. And in this corner, HP's touchpad.
Chirp, chirp. That's my cricket impression.
Crickets.
Yeah, HP, their touchpad, which by a lot of experts' estimates was probably one of the biggest competitors to Apple's iPad, they're calling it quits. Well, at least for that device.
Boy, did they pull out early.
They've announced this week that their support for the WebOS-powered tablet, the touchpad, that's drawing to a close. They're done. And a lot of people remember, they put these devices out with the idea that, yeah, we know there's not a lot of apps, but we're going to make these things a little bit less expensive, and they have all these cool, there's just all this power under the hood, and we got tons of app developers lined up, and there'll be apps. Just buy the device. Trust us. Yeah, well, people didn't trust. People didn't buy. In fact, most estimates are that they sold less than 100,000 units in the entire time, which sounds like a lot until you put it in perspective and say, Apple, in their first 28 days, sold over 1 million.
1 million iPads.
In fact, they sold 9 million iPads per quarter. That's their pace they're
on. That's stupid.
And these guys couldn't sell even 100,000, so they're pulling the plug on it. And if you own one of these things, well, I hope you like whatever apps you got.
Because that's all you're going to get. I guess they're not worth anything. You can't sell them for components, for parts, for anything. You can sell them to museums.
And a lot of the experts that are saying that, you know, this is a big takedown. And the tablet war, obviously, there's a clear, so far, winner of the battles. And this is probably not going to be the last of the tablet competitors that's going to be taken down. They think the RIM's playbook is up next.
Well, you know, it's funny. The RIM playbook, when they launched, I don't know, Brandon, if you remember, we were over by near a Sprint store.
Yeah.
And they had this big tractor trailer out for the big release of the play. And there was no one there.
Well, you know, what's funny, Ken and I were at the Consumer Electronics Show, which is always held in January in Las Vegas. And we were there ahead of all of the crazy tablet launches. And we, you know, at this show, you know, of course, iPad had already been out for a while. And that was definitely the hot topic there. There were all these different prototypes. There were beta devices. There was all this stuff that was coming. And we took a look at a lot of it. We looked at the touchpad. We looked at the RIM. We looked at a bunch of other stuff. And we picked, out of everything, we said, this playbook, if anything's going to compete, this is the device, technically superior in almost every way, right? There's some really cool things they've done. It works with a lot of the BlackBerry devices that are out there, and there's tons of BlackBerries out there and in corporate worlds. This thing, even though they're calling it the playbook, it's very capable. This thing has a real shot. Yeah, so far, pretty lackluster.
Yeah, not good. Speaking of having a shot, though, RIM seems like they might have some life in their blood again with this Motorola acquisition by Google.
Yeah, this pending acquisition, the $12.5 billion. We told you about that story when we opened up the show. Well, them making that move, them being Google, making that move is perhaps freaking out some of these hardware vendors that were using the operating system that Google makes for them, the Android operating system. And so, you know, a lot of consumers, for whatever reason, they have a lot of distrust for Google. And I don't know if Google's earned it because they've done some things, whether it's by accident or on purpose, that can be argued, or whether they're just bagged on because they're the big guy. But there's some distrust, and there's some thoughts that people may jump to RIM, the old familiar, trustworthy, these are the guys that secure it all, we're all good.
So this could be good for them. If Google does, you know, go through this and they have these devices now, there could be a resurgence. It could be a renaissance for RIM. A renaissance.
No?
We
were just talking last week about RIM being in trouble, and maybe things are looking a little better.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Every week, we like to dip into the bag of help.
Yeah, we provide help.
We like to tell you things that you ask, give you answers.
In fact, we give you a place to ask things, and then we answer those things, and we do it in newspaper columns and things all over. And if you go to datadoctors.com/help, well, you can see this week's help and last week's help and last year's and last month's and a decade ago's help, because we help people all the time and we do it there publicly, so you can get something from it too.
This week's Data Doctors Help is how to capture internet video.
You know what we're talking about. You've been on YouTube, you've seen that cool video, and you've thought, what if I wanted to watch that while I was on a plane and they didn't have Wi-Fi, or if I was in an igloo or a cave, or just wanted to save that for my own who knows what?
Now, in the Mac world, there are apps that do that. In the PC world, there are apps that do that. I will have a video for you of several of the Mac apps in the coming weeks. In the PC world, though, Brandon, how do you get those videos? Because I don't know how to grab a video off of YouTube in the PC world.
There's a number of programs out there that are designed to do exactly what we're talking about. You download, install the program, and most of these things are free. They're very simple to use. Basically, they run in the background while the video you're watching, and they record it almost like you got a video camera and you're recording it, and then it converts it to something you can save, and off you go, bada bing, bada boom.
And I'll give you a tip for when you do these things. Do not move your mouse over the said video.
No, that will be recorded as well.
And then you'll have a mouse streak across your video.
We're going to make this very simple for you, because there's lots of different, depending on the operating system you have and the version and things. We've got a link, datadoctors.com/radio. Just click on help.
Help. Hey, do you need a USB microphone for Skyping?
You know, remember that radio show we did a couple weeks ago when I was in San Diego on vacation?
Yeah, you were on the beach.
Yeah, I was trying to use the built-in mic on my laptop. Not so good, so actually the answer is absolutely.
We've got a link to the best USB microphones, the best bang for your buck. datadoctors.com/radio. We'll have a link right there for you.
And coming up, 100,000 reasons to love Amazon.
And South Koreans are looking for barbecued apples.
Barbecued apples.
And we'll explain.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Brandon, have you ever met anyone that didn't have a computer problem?
Dude, people call me like day and night because they have computer problems.
B-Dizzle Tech Support.
Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, you don't have to be a slave to your technology. Computers, they exist to make life easier for us.
That's the theory.
In theory.
We can make that theory a reality.
Until they stop working. So when your computer acts up, don't let it ruin your day. Bring it into Data Doctors. Our team of computer experts can take your pain away like that.
Did you say that?
Like that.
That's pretty fast.
We can speed up your computer, network your office, show you how to back up your critical data. And when you lose everything because you didn't follow our advice, we can get that back too.
Of course they'll follow our advice.
They should. We've got locations around the country. There's a Data Doctors store right in your backyard. Well, near you, not in your backyard. Go to datadoctors.com, type in your zip code. Data Doctors. We can make things work for you. We've been taking the PU out of computers for nearly a quarter century. Data Doctors.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, you got a question for the show, during the show, after the show, anytime, except for the times when we're sleeping. Facebook.com/Data Doctors. Post it to the wall, and one of our brilliant technologists, well, actually, one of us, will answer it for you.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
So 27,000 are suing for $26 million.
What you talk about?
Why you talk like that?
South Koreans.
Freireich Eager.
Sue Apple Computer.
We should stop this.
That's
horrible. We're going to get so busted.
We are going to get, yeah, that's
right,
bad. I apologize to all my South Korean friends.
You have South Korean friends?
I do have South Korean friends. Lawton Woo, I think, is South Korean.
I don't think people should, you shouldn't say their names. Not good.
Oh, okay.
So a bunch of South Koreans got together, class action lawsuit. Remember the whole iPhone debacle of there's a bunch of data that's stored and saved and it's made available.
Tracking where you are, where you've been, yeah, the photos you've taken, geotag, all that stuff.
iPhone privacy issues, and these 27,000 want $26 million.
Wait a second. Okay, let me do the math here because my people are good at math. That's Mac people, by the way. Mm-hmm. Every person in the suit gets about $932 if this suit goes through. Or a million won.
A million won?
Yeah. Not a million won, a million won. That's the money there, won.
And it's like that. That's the ratio is 1,000 to 1 million.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty sick. So the data, though, on this wasn't shared with anybody. So what are they suing over?
That it happened.
Okay.
How dare you?
So
I'm sure, look, attorneys, they got involved.
They got bad
said,
attorneys there,
this.
Too?
Everybody who owns one, you join the class. All you do is text the word yes to whatever, and then there you go.
And that's it. Are they going to plan a million won march?
Stop with the...
In Cupertino?
Sir, you said you had friends. You've turned them into enemies.
I had a friend.
The show had friends, and now we don't.
Fortunately, Lawton Woo is living back there now and probably isn't listening.
Hey, watch out, Netflix. Amazon Instant Video reaches 100,000 on-demand titles.
That's a lot of titles.
You want the details? DataDoctors.com/radio, like all the other stuff we talk about.
And you know, Amazon has an even bigger, further reach than just videos, than just shopping. They're now hopping into bed with Uncle Sam.
Sounds dirty.
It is dirty. Amazon's launched GovCloud.
The GovCloud?
The GovCloud.
You know what they should have done? They should have called it the Series of Tubes Cloud in honor of the government.
It's a cloud service designed to allow the U.S. government agencies and contractors to move more sensitive stuff in the cloud without having to deal with, there's regulatory compliance issues.
Right.
This cloud is a more secure cloud.
So here's a little secret for the guys at Amazon.
Yes.
So the government, if they have super secret stuff, guess what? They're not putting it on the internet no matter whose secure cloud that it's on. It's not happening. They have their own sort of form of their network that's secure that only they can get on, and it's highly secure. It's called the SipperNet. I'm pretty sure they don't need Amazon's GovCloud.
And they use IBM Selectric typewriters to pass data into
SipperNet. Remember the Morse code?
That's right. Back from earlier in the program.
And Navajo code tuckers.
Fantastic. Is it my turn or yours?
It's your turn.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. How do you use your phone?
Ideally to make phone calls, although sometimes not so much in the elevator.
Okay. The elevator, unless you're on Sprint for some reason. Apparently, people use their phones for a lot of different reasons, but phone calls aren't the primary reason these days.
Big distraction. Oh, games. I bet you it's games.
Texting.
Farmville.
Boredom.
Wait, no, that's Facebook. Wrong.
But this is the one that gets me. To avoid other people.
Wait a minute. What are they doing? Aren't you communicating with other people when you're texting and you're...
Okay. So how many times have you done this? I don't do this with you or with Ken, but I've done this before with other people. You see the call come in. I did it earlier today when we were talking. Someone called and I saw who it was on my phone and I went, eh.
Voicemail.
Right. We avoid other people with our phones. And like 72% of us use it as an avoidance tool.
Why do we give them our phone number if we want to avoid them?
Not a communication tool. By the way, I did some research on my iPhone. Do you know in the couple of years I've had my iPhone?
Yeah.
I've used it for 60 days of phone call use.
So you were worried earlier about the 22 minutes from eating bacon or whatever it was. What was it? Oh, watching TV.
Watching TV.
And
you
60
threw
days
in the bacon.
Are killed, and you're worried about 22
but,
minutes.
But I'm using my phone for an actual phone. I don't.
Okay. You just told us that you hung up. Whoever was calling earlier today, yeah, you know where you stand on his list.
It was our mutual friend of ours. His name is Jay. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Okay?
He doesn't listen. We're good.
No, he doesn't listen. So I'm okay with that. He's deaf. He can't listen, even if we paid him.
So enough of the phones. You know, Firefox, we've talked about for years, if you're going to have an alternative browser, we've talked about get something other than the big blue E, right? Or if you're on the Mac world, something other than the Safari, because it's good to have a second browser. And in fact, you're going to probably figure out that you like something else. Well, a browser that's been a favorite of mine for a long time, not so much yours, but mine,
yeah.
Firefox. And what I like about Firefox is that there's tons of extensions and things that make it easier for me to do what I do, but not for you necessarily, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Firefox. It's got some issues and some clunkiness and some things I don't like. So I moved to Chrome. But I do have Firefox on my Mac. I have Safari. I have Chrome. And then I have this other thing called Opera.
Opera.
I have four browsers.
It's for when the fat lady sings. So Firefox users, you probably, if you keep up with Firefox, you remember a few weeks ago they launched Firefox 5, and it was pretty cool. It's got some new stuff, a little bit peppier, right? Guess what just launched a couple days ago?
Firefox 5?
Firefox 6.
Whoa. Yeah. They just launched 5. I thought, wouldn't they launch like a patch or something?
8 weeks after 5, it's 6.
Okay, why are they launching 6?
Let me tell you about all the new stuff. Ready for the list?
Okay, go.
Number one.
Yes.
No,
go.
No big differences at all, actually.
So what are they doing?
Most people think that this is really what you said, just kind of a patch, a couple bug fixes, a couple of enhancements, but nothing noticeable, nothing under the hood, nothing visual. Really what's going on here is a little bit of version catch-up.
Okay, so wait a
second.
And
not the kind you put on fries.
So because I use Chrome, my Chrome browser, I forgot what I'm up to now. I think I'm up to like Chrome 11 right. or 13 or something.
This is the funny
silliness.
Part, right? We don't pay attention to what version.
Right.
If you're in the Internet Explorer world, you're likely on Internet Explorer 8 or 9, right? If you're in the Chrome world, you're on 11 or 12.
Right. I had to go look while I was talking to find out what version I'm on because
Who cares?
Who cares?
As long as it works, right?
Exactly.
And it tells me to update, and I just do because I'm a sheep, right? Well, so Firefox is trying to play this version catch-up only because there's some perception in their heads because they're nerds and geeks and whatever,
by
right?
By the way, you do a sheep very well.
Yeah, whatever. They're thinking that, well, those guys were at 9 and these guys were at 12. And we got to play catch-up. We've got to get there. So let's go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, we're there. No, that's silly. That's dumb. We're not fooled. It's bad. Shame on you, Firefox.
I prefer mustard. Hey, there's lots of stuff we didn't get to today, but have no fear. We've got links to everything we talked about and more at datadoctors.com/radio.
And remember, if you get stuck with your technology, you know, your hard drive starts going clickety-clack, clickety-click, or you spill your morning coffee on your laptop, we can help with that too. Just click on datadoctors.com, type your zip code in the store locator, and you're going to find locations right, not in your backyard, that's creepy, but right around the corner.
It's the Data Doctors, Spanky and Brandon. We're out of here for this week. It's time to reboot. We'll catch you next week.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.